What if we could live more in harmony with our animal friends and the whole of nature simply by stopping and listening more? Chats with Animal Professionals and Interspecies Communicators aims to bring animals and the world of nature front and center. We'll be chatting with professionals working in the animal industry and intuitive interspecies communicators about their work in the field. I'm your host, Tracy Pierce. I'm a professional animal communicator and lifelong animal lover and spiritual explorer. I've worked with animals professionally since 2002, and I've been studying animal communication and the human-animal connection since 2014. Chats with Animal Professionals and Interspecies Communicators is for animal lovers, nature lovers, intuitives, spiritual seekers, and those interested in interspecies communication. Our aim is to bring awareness to these professions and to expose the new and old science behind some of these seemingly out-of-the-world careers. We hope to educate and tickle your mind about what is possible by discussing this work and ways we can work with our animal friends, nature friends, and the planet as a whole, instead of them always being a secondary consideration. Join us now as we explore today's topic. Hello and welcome to this episode of Chats with Animal Professionals and Interspecies Communicators. Our guest today is Heather Mayo, and our topic is, how can animal communication benefit dog training? Training dogs is not just a job for Heather, it's her passion. Heather began by training horses and then started to be interested in training dogs. She was so fascinated by how dogs learn and wanted to learn more. So she enrolled in Ketch Canine Trainers Academy to learn all she could. Heather completed her training and got her CCDT, Certified Dog Trainer. She then started her own company based in southeastern Wisconsin called Heather Mayo Dog Training. She specializes in-home dog training customized to you and your dog's needs. Heather, welcome to the show today.
Hi, JC. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Well, to kick things off, we talked a little bit about this in your bio, but could you go a little bit deeper into how you came to do this work that you're doing?
Sure. I always had a passion for training since I was a kid. My whole family's into, you know, training with school or, you know, things like that and nature. So I always had this kind of thing that I always loved to train and help people. And it's not just a job for me, is a passion. I really enjoy it, and I really like to tell people how to help their dogs and not, you know, get frustrated and just say, oh, my dog's just being my dog, and to actually enjoy their lives. So I tend to specialize more in a balanced kind of style dog training that's specifically for the needs of whatever people want. So if they want more positive, I do more toward positive. Negative, I do more training toward negative. And likes of that.
Okay, yeah. I guess I hadn't quite heard it referred to like that before. And when you say positive versus negative, you mean more like positive reinforcement versus more of the, I guess I want to call it dominating kind of dog training?
Sure. Is that sure. What you mean? Yeah, or a correction, you know, in that negative side. Yes.
Okay.
That style. It's considered a balanced dog trainer method. So it's what's tailored specifically for you and your dog. You know, we tend to get so caught up in, you know, emotions, and we just kind of have to look at it and say, okay, what is the dog really trying to tell us? Not what you're thinking, it's what the dog's saying.
Okay, I see.
And then I tailor toward that instead of just, you know, a basic sit down come. It's more on the behavioral side and the emotion. It's for the fear, anger, frustration, all that wonderful stuff that we kind of take for granted sometimes.
Yeah. And I don't know if you know this about me, but I've lived with a lot of dogs, but I've never actually trained one myself. So a lot of this is, I mean, I know a little bit about dog training, but a lot of this is new to me as well. So it's very interesting to me to hear you know, about the different styles and methods and things.
And that's where people kind of start out with too. Like you were saying, is that they're like, oh, you know, we went to puppy class, but yet I'm still having this behavior problem. And then I really get dive deep into the emotion side of it. And that's where communication is very important, because sometimes we think they're mad at us, but really you're kind of rewarding that bad behavior because you're giving attention. Any attention, good or bad, is still attention. And they're going to keep doing what they're doing until you kind of sit back and say, wait, what am I doing? So it's not always the dog's fault. And that's where I think a lot of people go to is, you know, he's out to get me, or he hates me, or, you know, all those things.
Or he's just a jerk or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've definitely heard some of that for sure. Now, I understand that you started out training horses and then moved into training dogs. Was there anything that influenced that changeover?
Horses they're a unique, you know, kind of field, and it wasn't as fulfilling as I wanted to be. So that's how I kind of wanted to go to the dogs, because I just, you know, I was one of those people that just, you know, kept hearing all these things about, you know, some issues with their dog. And I'm thinking, oh, there's got to be a solution. And you see them, you know, you're very popular, Cesar Millan and all those, you know, TV shows that we love to watch. And we kind of sit back and say, wow, you know, this is really, you know, this can improve. My dog doesn't have to be the, like a jerk, as, you know, some people say. So when we sit back and you start kind of looking at more on the behavior side of how they're looking. So sometimes, you know, their tail up and wagging could mean, you know, excitement, or, you know, fear, startling. And that's where the psychology part comes in. Or if their eyes or their mouths open, are they smiling, happy? Are they stressed? Are they, you know, so in that sense, I'm looking at their body language and telling, you know, them, you know, what's the dog truly saying, instead of so much impressions.
Yeah, it sounds like you're bringing a lot of the different things all together, with the psychology plus the behavior plus, you know, the animal communication that you do know how to do, and that the switch from the horses had a lot more to do with just personal preference more than anything.
Yeah, I just really wanted to make a difference in people's lives, and I thought this really was unique, and wanted to specialize in more on the behavioral side and be a behavioral consultation instead of just the, you know, regular dog trainer that just teaches you, you know, the calm and sit down calm. I really wanted to dive deep into their personality and the home environment. And that's why I thought it's so important to do in home. And the people of dynamic of the whole family, you know, even with the kids and the husbands or wives or spouses or whoever is in the family, to all be understanding one group.
Yeah, it sounds like a very holistic approach of looking at the whole picture instead of just sit, stay.
Yeah. And that's where people always come to me and say, well, my dog knows sit down and calm, but he's still having this problem by jumping up on me.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned this a little bit earlier, but, you know, there are a lot of different styles of dog training. Could you tell us a little bit more about the type that you tend to teach people, and why you decided to get into that kind of dog training specifically?
Oh, sure. So it's the balanced method of dog training. It involves both using positive and negative, because I think there's beneficial things for positive, and I also understand there's, you know, benefits for the negative side, you know, the correction, or, you know, you're putting things in a technique that is not as, you know, here, sit, and then here's a treat. You could say sit and then do a leash correction, and that would be more on the negative side when you're saying sit. So there's consequences. So I like to make and say to the people, whatever you're comfortable with, or clients, what are you comfortable with? And then kind of look at the dog and say, okay, what's he reacting to? Are we kind of treating a bad behavior because we're slower on the treat taking? Or is it more of we're doing too many treats and now he's like, oh, I'll just do whatever because I get treats. Where correction So I say, sit, and I correct him on the leash. And he then says, oh, wait, there's consequences. I don't listen. I don't just get treats. So you get the two. So you can't really mix and match in a way that I tend to say to people, you know, do one way or the other with a specific, you know, command. So if you're doing sit and you're doing a treat and it's not working, okay, let's try the negative side and work on that. And so sometimes people just get stuck on that positive training and that's, you know, it, you know, and that's where I'm at. But we never advance and work on the training stages.
So do I understand correctly? So it's with each one of the different commands, you pick either the positive reinforcement or the correction part.
Yeah.
So like with sit, you might do the correction, but then with lie down, you might do something different.
Yeah.
But
so you might do a luring, you know, with the treat command in the beginning, instead of such a harsh, you know, which is physically shoving them down to the ground, you know, on the negative side. You know, I like to try to do positive first, of course, because I think that's, you know, I feel like the dog should be able to, you know, follow, you know, a treat. But sometimes treats doesn't work. So now what do you do? And then, but then sometimes people go to the extreme, like using prong or chain. But then that can have, you know, results that can cause more aggression or fear because you're using such a harsh technique. So that's why I don't like when people say, oh, I went to a negative trainer and that's all we learn. And then someone goes to a positive trainer and that's all they learn. And then they won't do anything, you know, and that's why I like to do that balance.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I guess I wasn't aware of how those two could really work together in that way. The way I grew up, we always had dogs, and my parents definitely did that correction method, the alpha dominant kind of thing. There was even one dog that my parents got, like one of the electric shock collars, and just, you know, kind of it felt weird to me, that piece of it. But yeah, I guess as I've gotten older and learned more about different methods, it's just really interesting to hear how the two methods can kind of work together, like you said, to create a balance that's actually helpful for the dog.
Well, yeah, and kind of going into that, I like to also be like, I'm training you to train your dog. So it's not just me doing the work, it's you applying it in everyday life too. And that's where, you know, people tend to say, oh, I'm here for an hour and I think I'm going to, you know, cure your dog of this, you know, problem, where it's kind of lies with you in a way. And to having a well-balanced dog, I always think there's four major groups in dog training that I feel that are important is leadership. You know, they look to us for guidance, socialization. You know, sometimes we tend to be petting the unwanted behavior, so we're kind of rewarding that behavior. And then they get stuck. Or we keep correcting, no, 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 but we never show them what they should be doing as well. So that's, you know, and then exercising and training so much. I feel like, you know, we don't take them for a walk because we're scared, you know, that, okay, so he's going to jump on someone if they come up to, or they're reactive to another dog. And it's like, well, then we kind of look back and say, okay, leadership, what are you saying? You know, are they're, you know, interacting the best guidance to us? Like, you know, what I always tell people is if the dogs are not, you know, have any guidance or any connection with you, how are they going to understand you and training if you don't even have that kind of basic? So it's getting there to follow you. As leadership, saying, hey, I'm in control. And then if dogs are out of control, it's like, okay, you know, what are we looking at? And then of course, you know, training, I say daily, you know, it doesn't have to be an hour, you know, or, you know, all day long, just, you know, randomly, just do a sit, you know, feeding them, giving them, you know, food in the morning at a sit, you know, makes a big difference. And then a job, of course. All dogs want to make you happy. They're part of your life, and you sleep with them, and you love them, and you cry with them, and you do everything. And my attitude is that I love to tell the people that I want to expect manners first, and then love them for a job well done. Is my motto. But those are the four major groups that I am just like, oh my goodness, if something is awry, I look at those groups and I say, okay, what's kind of is the issue here?
So as I understand, the four groups are leadership, socialization, exercise and training, and then job, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that's a really interesting way of hearing it. And I also think what you said about it, it's not just training the dog, it's also training the human. I think a lot of people don't think about that. It like, oh no, it's just about training the dog. The dog should do what I say kind of thing. And I find the leadership piece really interesting. There's another animal communicator. I listened to an interview with her a few months ago. And one of the things she has a lot of dogs. And one of the things that she talks about a lot is how one of the themes that she sees with dogs, as far as the lessons they're trying to teach their humans, it is about leadership and about the humans like really coming into their full self and being the leader of the pack. So that's mm-hmm. just kind of reinforcing what you say there.
Oh yeah, definitely. And just knowing that sometimes it's their emotions, just like we have emotions, but sometimes we put our emotions onto the dog, and then all of a sudden it manifests something else. So it's a behavior, usually manifests into behavior. So if we are like, sometimes I walk into a household and I'm like, whoa, I'm even stepping back. Like, wow, this energy in this household is, you know, picky, picky, picky. And then the dog's just like, what am I supposed to do? And they're looking around like, help me, you know, and that's where the communication comes in, where then I, okay, let's all come together. And that's the whole goal of mine, is to, you know, tell them what the dog is trying to say. And that's where I feel like sometimes they don't just, you know, they kind of keep, they assume because he's jumping, he's naughty. Where I'm like, no, he's jumping because he wants to love you, or he's licking you because he wants to, you know, say, hey, I want your attention at this time. And then if we feed into that and kind of give him, we're kind of rewarding it, and then also we don't like it. And then we wonder why. So that's a big thing with a job. You know, dogs think, oh, I'm going to, you know, do this job for you, like by licking you or jumping up on you when you come home, instead of then redirecting their attention to do something else as a job. And that's my goal.
Yeah, that's something that comes up in animal communication too a lot, about either being clear about what their job is. Cause you know, sometimes dogs, they think this is their job because they've received reinforcement on it somehow or been rewarded in some way. But so it's like the human ask part of it doesn't even realize that they've sort of asked their dog to be doing this quote unquote job that they consider to be bad behaviors or something. So
it's like, well, yeah. We're playing tug of war with you on the leash, you know, and we're trying to have them go potty, you
know? Right. But, yeah, but we're having fun. Like, just like,
and you're at wit's Absolutely. End and you're frustrated and you're just like, why is he not listening? I want him to potty.
Right. Right. Now, I imagine this kind of varies from dog to dog, but is there kind of an average time or number of sessions that it usually takes for a dog to really get the new training?
It all depends. I mean, sometimes it's just literally just like I said, stepping back, realizing, hey, what am I doing wrong? You know, so many times it's not the dog that I have to correct, as you know dog training, you know, field say. It's more of just saying, okay, you know, say I don't want him to jump up on me, so when I come in every day, I'm going to throw some treats on the ground and give his attention onto the floor instead of up on me and loving me. So it may take, you know, I always say it takes longer to break down bad habits. We all know that. And then we got to train them to a new job or a new technique of, instead of jumping up, to now looking at the ground. So I tend to say, you know, it can take, as long as we follow through and do training is a big thing. It all depends. So sometimes littlest things like jumping up could take, you know, maybe a week or two. There's no set time. It's just whatever we take the time to train
So I'm not sure how extensive your training is in animal communication, but it's my understanding that you do use some animal communication when you're doing this dog training work. So how has learning animal communication changed how you work with the dogs?
Sometimes I tend to get some, for me, I have like a feeling almost like I'm doing something that the dog really wants. So that's in that sense, it's more me personally as a trainer, is that all of a sudden I'm like, I get this kind of like shiver down my spine almost and saying, yes, that's the technique that's going to work for this dog. So in that sense, for me, in my communication ways and how I kind of process it, is that I'm looking at a situation, reading, of course, the body language of the dog, and that's what school, you know, teaches us, what's the eyes, the ears, the, you know, the mouth, the tail, even the body, is it stiff or relaxed? And so I'm looking at all those, of course, body languages that the dog's giving me. And then I just take my communication kind of to that next level and say, okay, what is that dog kind of telling me? Is this the right technique? And I kind of get the spinal kind of tingling and I'm like, oh, yep, that's it. And it just clicks and very, very fast. And what the dog's, you know, doing is not doing anymore. So.
Yeah. So it sounds to me like you're using more traditional, I guess you could call it, animal behavior, body language messages, but you're also using your intuition quite a lot. And it sounds like you receive the messages kind of, I think we would call it clairsentiently, like the way it feels in your body to kind of confirm those things. Would that be an accurate way of describing
yes,
it?
Yes, that's, yeah, you got it.
Yep, okay, definitely. Yeah.
And then it just takes that, my training next to level, because now I'm getting results very quickly with people and saying, oh, thank you, you know.
So when you're working with clients, are you teaching them some of these animal behavioral cues, like for them to pay attention to and notice and things like that? Okay.
Sorry. Even with that, yes, you brought up an awesome, you know, a question there, is that when they yawn is a big one. So sometimes I say yawn can be just tired, can be stress, or it actually can be learning too as well. So when I'm training, all of a sudden these dogs are yawning quite a bit. And I always look at that more as energy being released. So it's saying, hey, bad training or bad, you know, things I used to do, and now I'm actually understanding what I want. And I also look at shakes too. You know, shakes can be, oh, I'm cold, or oh, I woke up, or, you know, I get a little shaky, or oh, I got an itch and I shake, or I'm wet and I shake, you know, those kind of things. But also with training, I see it quite a bit where they're just, you know, they'll all of a sudden, I'll tell them to do something, and all of a sudden they start shaking, like they're getting rid of their negative energy. And that's how I tell people, when you see shakes and yawns, especially in dogs that I've been noticing in my 200 plus year, plus dogs of training here, that I'm noticing quite a bit of them actually are, and it kind of, like I said, get rid of that bad energy, and then try now can take in the new energy that we're giving out. Sometimes they're not as in, they don't fully understand. They're like, oh, my dog's tail is wagging, it's excitement, but it can also mean fear or nervousness as well. So it's kind of, you know, saying, hey, this is what I've learned from my studies and what, you know, scientists have studied many, many years. This is what this means. It could potentially mean something else depending on what, you know, kind of circumstances. And that's why I can't diagnose over the phone or, you know, or what you're telling me until I actually see it. Because it could mean excitement, or if you get into more fear and aggression is like really the main kind of ones. And there's many different emotions, but those are the main ones where they're like, oh, I'm scared. Or they're, I'm going to fight you. but is it true aggression? You know, and then that's just because he barks doesn't mean he's aggressive. He's barking because he's communicating. And so I tell them, you know, and they go to that. So then they go to a different type of training And that's the key, is the technique, is to, you know, understanding what are the dogs saying and then training them what they should be, you know, training them. So if something is like a resource guarding, well, is it resource guarding? Or when I'm coming to your house and looking at it saying, no, it's more of just irritation. And it just exploded in resource guarding, which is attacking when, you know, that, you know, you went and grabbed it from them. It was just more frustration. So we need to not get to that management at that point, and not get them to that point, and to retrain them to what they should be doing.
I find the wagging tail thing very, very interesting, because I do remember I used to be a volunteer dog walker at the animal shelter where I lived before here. And that was the first time that I had learned, you know, they made us go through like a little class to learn about dogs before, you know, before we would actually do it. And that was the first time I learned that the tail wagging could actually not be a positive, oh, happy dog thing. And I think it's my perception anyway, that a lot of people really misunderstand, you know, a dog with their tail wagging. They don't understand that it could actually mean a lot of different things.
Oh yeah. And then that's where they start, okay, I'm going to try this training technique. And it's like, no, that's not even, you know, that's not even the issue, you know, and then they get confused and then the dog gets frustrated because it keeps doing it. So it's like, I'm taking the guesswork out of your, you know, there's so much information out there and people tend to just, you know, go, okay, I'm going to go online and, you know, like I said, just because my dog is barking and getting all worked up at someone walking by, is it true aggression? So now I got to treat it like an aggression case where it's like, no, it's just excited. It's happy. It's just saying, hello, hello, hello. And so you're going to treat it differently. When I'm saying treating, I'm talking about training and the techniques. And there's so many. But then all of a sudden it gets into something else. It means something else now because we're giving it a different meaning because we're looking at it differently in that kind of sense of the communication.
Yeah, this has been a really fascinating conversation. It's so interesting to talk to a real dog trainer about all these things. And I have heard, you know, previously, a lot of people believe that animal communication is just about studying the behavior patterns. So it's interesting to hear for me how you have studied all the behavior patterns, but you're also bringing in this intuition, or what we would call in telepathic animal communication, the telepathic aspect of animal communication into this as well. It feels like a really good harmony, because it's important for us to know, you know, these bits that have been studied scientifically around like the animal behavior communication part of it. And then to be able to bring the other piece in, it seems to me like that's really incredibly valuable. I wonder if there's anything else that you might add to that or want to say.
No, I mean, I think we covered it all. I think, like I said, it's just, you know, I just really love it. And I want to make people happy, you know, and to enjoy their dogs and to not want, you know, to just get rid of them because, you know, and they put all this love and effort into them, but they just, this one behavior or many behaviors are just out of control. And I'm there and supporting them and helping them out, not just a trainer. I'm a friend as well to them, and to get them to, you know, enjoy their dogs makes me happy.
Cool. Well, Heather, thank you so much for joining me here today. It's been so wonderful to chat with you about this. If our listeners wanted to learn more about you and your work, where would be the best place for them to go?
My website is hmayodogtraining.com. You see it?
Yep. Perfect. So I'll definitely put that in the show notes so people can click on over. And just to be clear, right at this point, you just work in home with people. Like, you don't do online consultations. Like, no. What you were saying, you want to actually observe the dog in their natural habitat in the home and make those kind of observations. So you work with people. Is it Milwaukee County or what part of Wisconsin?
Yeah, pretty much Milwaukee County. Yeah.
Milwaukee County.
Southeast. Yeah. East
Wisconsin. All right. Well, great. Heather, thank you so much for joining me here today. And just thanks for being here. It's been so great to connect with you again.
Very nice to see you again.
Thank you, dear listener, for tuning in today. I hope you find yourself tickled and considering what else is possible when we decide to listen in different ways. Your animal and nature friends want to communicate with you. Are you ready to listen? If you found this podcast valuable and would like to support us, please use the donation link in the show notes to make a donation. Thank you so much for your support. If you're an animal professional or interspecies communicator and would like to be a guest on the show, please send an email to hi, that's H-I, at tracy-pierce.com. Music is courtesy of Fesslian Studios. All links we mention will be provided in the show notes for this episode. If you found this show informative or helpful, please consider leaving us a rating or review wherever you listen to your podcasts.